Welcome to HWTP Sports Talk with your host, David Weinstein. And now, David Weinstein.
Hello, Huddlin' fans. Thank you for listening to Huddlin' with the Pro Sports Talk with David Weinstein, featuring Pepper Johnson. My co-host Pepper Johnson is a 13-year NFL veteran player, a five-time Super Bowl champion as a player and coach, a member of the Ohio State Varsity Hall of Fame, and a former defensive coach for the Bills, Jets, and Patriots. Well, Pepper, we've got a lot of hot topics to talk about this week. Bunch of things going on in the world of sports, some of them on the field, some of them off the field, and some social issues that interact with sports. So let's start off with Deshaun Watson. Everybody was talking about Deshaun Watson maybe 3 weeks ago, about he was the player who was going to go out and he was going to tell the team what was happening, and it's about time a player took the bull by the horns. He didn't want to play for the Houston Texans anymore. He didn't value the organization. He didn't think they were moving in the right direction. He was going to hold out. They were going to have to trade him. And then, bam, lawsuits. First it was one, then it was two. Now he's up to 18 separate lawsuits, potentially as many as 25 different victims, all alleging that he abused them during the course of massages. One or two, maybe that's somebody who's trying to squeeze some money out of him. Three or four, a couple of people got together. 18, something happened there, and he's going to have to address it. First in civil court, where it's going to cost him some money, and then potentially, if it moves into the criminal court because they refer it to the DA's office, he might be looking at time. Now, Pepper, I'm not an athlete, and so my, you know, weekly, daily workout here doesn't require me to get a massage, but I'm sure that as a professional athlete, you've had to have a massage because of injury or just because of what goes on the football field. Are you an athlete who needs to get a massage, Pepper?
No, I never got a massage during my 13 years of playing. I never got a full body massage until maybe my fourth or fifth year of coaching. And that was just because of some of the players was telling me, I should try it, blah, 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 blah. And then I went and I tried it. But
and I don't let think me ask you something, Pepper. When you had your massage, did you find the masseuse on Instagram or by sending text messages, or was it arranged through the team and through a professional masseuse?
Arranged through the team. The Patriots were bringing some like local girls and got it. That sounds bad, right? Bringing some local masseuse in, and it got to the point where the players used them so much that they hired them, and they gave them a, you know, like a hourly wage or something like that, that they came in and the Patriots was paying them. Now me, I didn't qualify for that. So I talked to one of the masseuses when she was at the facility, but I went to her spa and got my massage.
My point is, Pepper, you weren't sending her text messages. You weren't seeking her out on Instagram or social media. You weren't arranging for a meeting at some place that wasn't either her spa or if that the occasion had arisen. In some of the instances with Watson, he had them come over to his house. He met them at other houses. It just sounds like from all the allegations, it seems a little bit off. And that's part of the reason why people are starting to say, well, maybe this just wasn't right.
Yeah, but that is kind of normal. That is normal. Like some of the players, the masseuse will come over to their house. Now I'm not, you know, this stalking, this seeking them out on it, the social media and stuff like that. I can't say, I can't speak on that. I don't know anything about that. But as far as coming to the house, meeting somewhere else that they could actually, you know, perform the massage, I think so. But a lot of the stuff is still a little shady. Like and it's both sides for him. to be trying this and with so many different people, it sounds hazy to me. And then with the girls, normally, and again, I haven't been around a lot of masseuses and have a big experience. It's mainly through some of the players that I've coached. But those girls is normally like no nonsense. They're normally strict to the point and kind of direct. So if he is saying something, I would think that those girls would have, or those ladies would have came out and said some things a lot sooner than this, than wait for a buildup, because there's no shame.
Well, some of them did say something, you know, contemporaneously to when it happened. One or two of them talked to people right after it happened. They felt very embarrassed about the situation. And if you look at the allegations, you know, he's asking for this deep tissue massage in his groin area. And according to the allegations, he's covering himself up only with a towel there. He's otherwise naked. He's flipping himself over. In some instances, these people describe him as having become aroused. And then, you know, that's where the stories sort of diverge from each other. Yeah. Look, if he's looking to get a, and I understand, or so I've been told, that a quarterback it plays in a position where he may be using different muscles and other players use different muscles, and there's been some, you know, pain and there's need for this massage. But, you know, the guy's a high-profile player. He's just signed a huge contract. He shouldn't be putting himself in a position where it's going to become a he said, she said, and these people are going to be able to come out against him. And again, if it was one or two, that's one thing. But now this many people, it's just something smells bad, and it's devaluing both him in terms of what the Texans can do with him, and it's going to cause him to ring up a lot of legal fees. And then on top of everything else, his own lawyers are not doing him any great service in trying to defend him with some of the statements they're making about the allegations themselves.
Myself and a few of my friends talked about this before, and was, you know, some of the questions came up about, do you think the organization, Houston, is setting him up? And I said, no, I don't think so. But would I put it past his agents or somebody just trying to build up his popularity and to make sure he gets out of there? It wouldn't surprise me in this day and era. It wouldn't surprise me because
that strategy backfired in a huge way, because if he's going to get out of there, it's going to be at a loss to both him and to the team. You know, the way I see it now, with this many lawsuits out there and the potential that the DA is going to look at him, his only hope now is to settle. He's got to get all of these people around a table. He's got to figure out what the number is. It's not going to be that small number that he thought it might have been, 30,000, 40,000 per lawsuit. It's a much bigger number with a lot more zeros on the end. And he's got to make it go away, and he's got to have you know, non-disclosure agreements and confidentiality clauses, because when it's done, the NFL wants to talk to him about their personal conduct policy. And you and I both know that it doesn't take any kind of proof, beyond a reasonable doubt, preponderance, whatever legal standard you want to use, Pepper. If the NFL decides they don't like what you did and they've got a witness to support it, they're going to suspend you. They're going to fine you. You know, look at what happened to guys like Ezekiel Elliott, Ben Roethlisberger, Johnny Manziel. You know, some of these cases had evidence. Some of these cases didn't. You know, there's a famous running back who used to play for the Baltimore Ravens that had some videotape taken of him in an elevator, and that was the end of his career. No charges ultimately got filed, but yeah, right. You know, the NFL can do what the NFL wants to do with it. So he's got a big problem ahead of himself, and, you know, at this point, my perception is his only way out is to settle and try to do some damage control, but he's not going to get another big contract, and Houston's not going to get that multiple first-round picks for him they thought they were going to get.
A lot of that stuff is a gamble anyway. So maybe he's gambling. Maybe he was gambling on, you know, getting a bigger contract and just trying to play the odds on it, because it is the publicity of it all. And if he got out of Houston, he did accomplish that. And like you said, if he, you know, if you get a long big contract or not, I mean, it's yet to be said. I've seen there's been those cases where guys have, you know, walked out of the league, and then there's other cases where people keep getting opportunities to come back, and then they just continue to screw it up.
You're listening to HWTP Sports Talk with David Weinstein, recognized by our guests and listeners for our no-holds-barred good questions and informed conversation. Don't be shy. Post your questions and comments at hashtag AskHWTP.
So let's move on to another topic here. We talked a little bit last week about social media and the negative reactions and the abuse that some of the college players were on the receiving end of during the NCAA March Madness, and, you know, unwarranted towards them. There is a former French international soccer player, Thierry Henry, who's now decided to step away from social media and has asked and hopes that others will stand up against racist abuse and online bullying. He used to play for Arsenal and Barcelona. Won the World Cup in France in 1998 and made an announcement last week that he's quitting his social media accounts until the companies that run the accounts start doing more to hold users accountable for their actions. And that means he's not talking about those of us who use the platform. He's talking about the people who run Twitter, who run Facebook, who, you know, run Instagram, that you need to hold your users accountable. And he's hoping that his decision is going to send some shockwaves around the world. Pepper, athletes are in a position where they can keep their message and let their message be heard when they have social media platforms. And now here's a guy who's getting off social media. Do you think that what he's doing is going to have the end result, or are people just going to not pay attention to him and not really react to the message he's trying to get across?
I think it's going to be a little bit of both. I do. I think with so many followers that he had in the love for the game, that you're going to have some people that's going to shy away. Everybody just totally turning it off. That's not getting ready to happen. And one thing that's good about the media is that we try to accommodate to a certain point. And anybody, especially if you're making money off the public, you try to accommodate. And are there going to be some changes? I would hope so, because this is not one or two issues. This is a lot of issues where people, you know, have, you know, borderline or just flat out racial statements. And you know, hopefully it's just they figure out a way how to eliminate some of that.
Well, we've seen Twitter do it, and we've seen Facebook do it. We've seen it more in the political context. Haven't really heard about Instagram doing it. I've also heard anecdotally about people's accounts being shut down because of things that they posted and statements that they've made. And I think that's what he's looking for. He's looking for the people that run these companies to go back and take a look at some of these posts and get people who post these racist and bullying comments to anybody. You don't have to be an athlete. You don't have to be a public figure. But what he wants is for people to be held accountable. And the people he wants to be held accountable are the people that are running the show. And, you know, we've seen some better things perhaps in stadiums. I don't know how people are interacting with each other these days because we're all staying inside our homes. You know, nobody's really been on top of each other. But, you know, if you think about it, when we get back to being able to walk out on the street, you would think four times before you yelled out something at somebody who you saw walking by based on the way their hair was, the color of their skin, the clothes that they were wearing, even the car that they're driving. But because you can do this hiding behind your screen at home, it takes you 2 seconds to spew out some racism and some hate for people. And again, that's what he's trying to draw down on. He said that he took inspiration from people like Muhammad Ali, who were outspoken about social issues and about other topics. And that's what he is putting behind this. I think it makes it harder for him because in Ali's time, he was able to get his message across because he was able to draw the media's attention to him. And he was be able to hold a press conference. When people like Jabbar would sit down back when he was Lew Alcindor, when James Brown, when, you know, those people would get down and they would sit, you know, Jim Brown would talk about it. There were people draw attention and the media would come to see them. So he's going to have to rely on the media now getting to him, but not on social media for him to draw the same kind of attention to it.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's this is a crazy time that we're living in. I see some of the things that how people respond just to hear their name, just to see their face, or just to see the reaction from some of the things they have done. I have been a strong believer, like, you know, when we grew up, that the news wasn't so worldwide. Maybe a lot of those things, a lot of things was happening, but it wasn't so worldwide. And so you didn't have people following it. Now you get from, you know, a lot of the things that they say on TV, I don't want to say mass murderers and serial killers, but really you get this stuff from someone trying to outdo the next person craziness, something that they saw on the news. And
a lot of copycats. A
lot of copycats. And so that's why we have this situation where we have now, where someone makes some type of statement in social media, like you said, you know, behind the screen. And then the next, then you find somebody else saying, I can top that. But meanwhile, no one really wants to go outside and face the people that they really talking about unless they have some herd with them.
Let's hope that the people at social media get his message. Instagram released a statement. Facebook did. Twitter. Let's see if they follow up on it. Otherwise, it's just another question that's asked and a position that's taken and nobody does anything about it.
Well, it's a cry out. Yeah.
You're listening to HWTP Sports Talk with David Weinstein, recognized by our guests and listeners for our no-holds-barred good questions and informed conversation. Don't be shy. Post your questions and comments at hashtag AskHWTP.
A topic that's not really related to sports, but found its place on basketball courts, on football fields, in baseball stadiums, in hockey arenas, is the trial that's taking place in Minneapolis right now. Former police officer Derek Chauvin is on trial for the murder of George Floyd. George had ties to the Minneapolis community, had some ties to some athletes, and the message, the outcry that was heard when this happened in May of last year was one that was taken to the football fields, to the basketball courts when they came back. And players got behind it. But really, it's not a story about sports. It's not a story about whose life matters more than another. It's a story about the way people are treated in cities across America. Pepper, you've talked about growing up in some rough neighborhoods and the way that people were treated within themselves and by police officers. And I think that what we all need to take away from this is the ability for all of us to interact with each other. And although police have an authority position, they need to use that wisely, and they need to get out in the communities and interact with the people there so people are not afraid to talk to police officers and to interact with them. And then perhaps the uproar won't be present on the other side, as people now are sitting waiting, anticipating this verdict, as if this is going to solve the problem that exists in every city in America.
Yeah, and it's not. It's not. Hey, I was one of those kids that was in the third grade that raised my hand that I wanted to be a police officer. That changed by the fifth grade when I saw some of the actions that some guys did and police officers did in my neighborhood growing up in Detroit. I have friends. I have a lot of friends now that are police officers. And lots of times I call them and I communicate with them with a lot of this stuff going on Hey, dude, I understand this whole being behind your coworker and all that stuff like that, but some people they don't need it. Some people they have a different agenda and they're making all of you guys look bad. I have a friend that just the other day, been a week now, that he was telling his son wanted to be a police officer also. And he was like, no, man, it's not good now. It's because he's about to retire. And he's like, no, it's not a good time now. And he don't really want him to do it. And his son wants to go to the military and then come back and be a police officer. And he likes the ideal of him going to serve his country, but he don't want him to be a police officer in the United States. That's freaking crazy. But we don't have enough time on this show for me to tell you all the different incidents and mistaken identities, or I was mistaken for somebody else or something else that took place by police officers. Mm-hmm. And it's like so many different incidents. And it's crazy. And I'm blessed to have, you know, gotten out of it. What I did get, I'm still living today, but there was a lot of time I was thrown on cars and down on the concrete, and eight police cars pulled up one time and everybody starts screaming. One guy screaming, get on the ground. Another guy, hold your hands up. Another guy screaming, don't move. Now, what do you do? Which one of you guys do I listen to? And then don't come out of your face with anything, or because guns are pointed at you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 18 years old at the given time. So it was crazy. It was an experience that I don't wish upon anybody. But then when I see some of this stuff like you, what we're talking about now, that's one guy that took it to the extreme, and it's like he could not stop himself, and there was no reason for that. You know, it's no reason for that. And why did he want to display that? And he knew cameras was on him and everything. Is kind of
even without the cameras, Pepper. We've seen this with people everywhere, whether it's a professional athlete. We've heard stories about tennis players, about football players, out of a building. It just simply because their skin was a different color and they might have looked one way or the other, the officer immediately takes a really bad disposition with that person when they've done nothing wrong. And that's, I think, what has to come out of all of this. We all need to step back and take a breath and not come at it with the guns drawn and with everybody being in the wrong and passing judgment on somebody who's done something. Sometimes the situation warrants it. Other times, there's a much calmer way to settle things. And for you to say that you were in that situation when you were 18, I know you're not that old, Pepper, but that was a while ago. And that's saying nothing's changed. Yeah, Nothing has changed. It's all still the same.
I mean, you know, when I mentioned the cameras, I'm mentioning that the guy had the audacity to continue to do what he was doing, even with the cameras on him. That's what I meant by that. That just makes it, to me, even worse. You know, when they was trying to hide, when they just pulled me over and eight cars and shoot, like, my 20 police officers, and it was just me. That's one thing. There wasn't cameras on the light posts and stuff back then. But now you have the cameras out there, and for someone to put his neck
in it. It's all out there for everybody to see. And as this trial's been proceeding, Pepper, we've all been watching it again and again from different angles and hearing people relive it. And it's tough for them to talk about what they saw that was going on out there.
Exactly. Okay, so and this is one of the things that, you know, a lot of people, you don't hear a lot of people talk about. Why don't we go for the source? Like, someone hired that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that those are the people, to me, that should also be on trial with him. Because if there's any kind of way of doing a tightening up the hiring qualifications and not just have somebody run through an obstacle course, I think that is something that we should pay more attention to.
You're listening to HWTP Sports Talk with David Weinstein, recognized by our guests and listeners for our no-holds-barred good questions and informed conversation. Don't be shy. Post your questions and comments at hashtag AskHWTP.
You've seen that happen in a number of cities, Pepper. The federal government's come into places like Miami, the people that come into cities like New York, like Detroit, like Los Angeles after something like this happens. And they train them and they make sure the hiring practices are there. This may be an example of one bad guy spoiling it. They need to be held accountable in some ways, but there are training programs and there are vetting programs. Sometimes people get through. I don't completely disagree with you. I don't think they should not be held accountable, but they certainly, if there's not a policy in place, if there's not something that's going on, they need to be held accountable for what happened. But in any job, we start off by talking about Deshaun Watson. Here's a guy that comes into a league that supposedly vets everybody, and now he's gone off the rail. There are other players that go off the rail. Even with the best of intentions, you can't keep it all from happening. But you're right, there needs to be accountability, and accountability at the top will somehow get these people to understand that they need to change their way of thinking.
Yeah, I don't want to get back started on Deshaun. I think that's another thing, because I say you should those guys that hired him and mm-hmm. brought him to the yep. freaking NFL, they should be held accountable too. If he did everything that's allegedly that he did, you can't hold their hands, and I understand that, but. Some things you can monitor, some things you can detect, but when you go out there and you just you think a football player runs a fast 40, bench press X amount, and can move his hips good and change directions, and then all of a sudden you want to put him up on a plateau, then you should take the blame also for hiring that person.
Well, speaking of owners and going back to the NFL, let's close out with this story, Pepper. The NFL has approved a 17th game. It started off at 14, then it wound its way up to 16. Now they're up to 17 regular season games. They've made a concession. They're going to take one preseason game off the schedule, but that's not the same. The players agree to let this happen, Pepper. What kind of toll you think that's going to take on the bodies of these professional football players?
No, that's not the issue. I'm totally against the light practices, the no padded practices, and all that stuff like that. In order to me, you're kind of talking to an old school guy. I believe in, I grew up with the old karate movies, David, where you saw the guy, he works out, he keep punching the log and he breaking bricks and he's kicking, walls and all kinds of stuff like that. He's toughening himself up. And then all of a sudden when he goes to fight this criminal, this villain, and he snatches out his heart into his chest or some mess like that. That used to excite me. Me and my boys, we would come out of the movie theater and then we just knew we knew karate. But anyway, it was like, why do you lift all these weights? Why do you do all this training? Then you're afraid of contact, or your body can't withstand this contact. That's what the training used to be for. Is for that you can hold on, your body stays strong for the contact of the duration of the season. Now, after the season, where a lot of these guys are going wrong, is they continue to lift the weights to the max and run in full tilt and all that stuff, and they never allow their bodies to relax. that's more of a wear and tear on the body than going at it and wearing some protective padding instead of guys with shoulder pads that we used to call shells back in the day, and no thigh pads, no hip pads or anything like that, and then go out there and fall on the ground and run into or someone knee you in the side, in your thigh, and then now you have a bruise that you don't understand why you're in the tub 2 weeks.
So let me get this straight. So you're suggesting that they not go as far back as Len Dawson and the guys who would have a cigarette and a Coke in the locker room at halftime and not work out at all during the off season.
Yeah, I came in the league, David. They were still smoking cigarettes.
But you're suggesting there's some sort of happy medium for these guys. Because I'm not a professional athlete. I would think that it would be better for you to train 12 months a year to keep your body in condition. But it sounds to me like you think that these guys need to take a little bit of time off after the season's over, give the body a chance to recover, and then start conditioning themselves to get ready to play. My thought is that the owners are being greedy putting the 17th game in, and that's going to cause a lot more injuries for players when they extend the season.
A lot of the owners don't really know what's going on and any of that. Someone throws up an ideal and they collectively see how, in a sense,
it's going to line their pocketbooks, Pepper. Game 17, they're talking about international games. They're talking about filling stadiums up again. Yeah. That's another game of revenue. That's got to go into their pocket.
Exactly. And then, I looked at the interview, they're talking about making it an extra home game. So teams have more home games than away games. They constantly trying to look to see how can they make a little extra money off of it. But for the players, some guys are already far gone. I don't know if they can change it. But I know I came up with Parcells, and we had on pads the morning practice and the afternoon practice. Sometimes we went all the days that we would practice. He would sneak in two regular practices and then a third practice where he said it wasn't really a practice. But, yeah, it was a practice. And we would have on pads then. And Parcells' mentality and what he would say to us, that if we practice harder than the other, and at the given time it was only 28 teams, he said the other 27 teams in the league, then we should be better than him. And for my first year in the league, and he gave that speech, and we go to and win the Super Bowl.
What did the training tables look like back then, Pepper? Were you getting your salads and your fruits and vegetables and your whole grains and nuts, or were you guys sneaking off and picking up a little of the local fried cuisine?
We had a security guy that was selling bologna sandwiches at night. He was selling bologna sandwiches at night. Guys giving him a couple of dollars and getting bologna sandwiches from him. The training table was not even close to what it is now. We didn't even eat at the facility when we practiced. Like I didn't. I never ate at. I don't even know that. Let me not say never, because a couple of times Carl Banks catered in a chef, and he and a chef cooked us breakfast.
How'd you do in that game, Pepper? Did you do as good as when you're eating the bologna sandwiches?
Yeah, no. These are practices. These are practices.
Okay.
I don't know if I ever told you this, but I never ate before a game. I don't care if it was a 1 o'clock game or it was an 8 o'clock game, Monday Night Football game. I never ate before a game because I. As crazy as now, and I'm not too embarrassed to say this, but I am kind of embarrassed that I didn't know my body. So I didn't know what was going to make me have to use the bathroom or not. And the last thing I wanted was to have to use the bathroom
You didn't want to take that dance we saw Lamar Jackson take last season when he kind of skedaddled into the locker room and then magically reappeared?
Yeah, exactly. No, not me. I'm sorry. And some people call me bougie, but I can't do number two with my cleats on and some football pants. I'm sorry.
So we know the fans are going to love this 17th game, Pepper. What do you think? You think it's a good thing for them to add 17? Or you think they should have stopped at 16?
Sixteen is more than enough. And that fourth preseason game, like you were saying, some of the guys don't even play in it. I have seen so many skilled guys that don't participate in the preseason games and get hurt early on in the season. Mm-hmm. And some of the guys, you know, they continue to do it. That's why it's rare to find any players now playing all 16 games. It's rare. It may be a quarterback here and there, but it's rare to find any player to play 16 games because they don't train for football anymore. They're training for track.
Let's see if anybody makes it to 17 games, and let's see if somebody goes 0-17 now that that's going to be out there. Well, I hope that doesn't happen, Pepper.
Yeah, that is – I mean, it's that's crazy. But the teams that was 0-16, I don't think one more game was going to make 1-16. I think those teams would have been 0-17. But it's just – I think in you know, with the bye week and all that stuff like that, they're just asking, you know, the players to go a little longer. I don't think it's really a big deal because they don't really practice hard. It's just a little running and stuff. And then the games, the players are arm tackling. So we're headed for flag football, David. So
All right. Well, let's hope not anytime soon, Pepper. I don't think they can make quite as much money off of flag football. Yeah. Thank you for listening to Huddling with the Pro Sports Talk with David Weinstein, featuring five-time Super Bowl champ Pepper Johnson. We're the podcast that tackles all the controversial hot-button issues from the world of sports, recognized by our guests and listeners for our hashtag NoHoldsBarred, good questions, and informed conversation. By day, I practice criminal defense law with Hinshaw & Culbertson in Miami, Florida, but once a week, you can find me here on HWTP Radio. The show is produced and edited by Jacqueline Park and is a Sweet G Communications production. Remember, you can find a new episode of Huddlin' with the Pros Sports Talk every week on hwtpradio.com. Now, you can follow Pepper on social media at PepJ52. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at HWTP Sports Talk. Missed a show? Visit our website at hwtpradio.com and download our podcast on your smart device. So goodbye for now. We'll see you next week.